Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, the chief economist with the American Institute of Architecture. Kermit, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp.
Good to catch up. It's been 6 months. Last time we talked, we were in Sarasota together, and things were looking, I think, a little bit better with the economy. I've been anxious to hear what you think the state is now for the rest of this year. Obviously, you've probably been busy this morning, probably got up early because the CPI came out. And it's telling us that the April increase is a 3.4% number.
It was a good, not great number. It moved in the right direction, as you mentioned, Kemp. You know, the top line number was down to 3.4% on a year-over-year basis. March was 3.5%, so it's moved in the right direction. I think we're starting to watch the core numbers a little more closely because we understand there's going to continue to be some volatility. And the core numbers even moved down a bit more. They were at 3.6% for April on a year-over-year basis compared to 3.8% in March. Looks like the stock futures are viewing that movement favorably. So moving in the right direction. I'm guessing it's not enough for the Fed to kind of call off the dogs now and say, we're done fighting inflation. We're going to start lowering interest rates. But it is a step in the right direction, and I think that's encouraging.
Two of the items that are still pretty high that can affect the consumer is the shelter costs and the gasoline prices. So those are two that are working against us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And gasoline is a very high visibility purchase too. You tank up, fill your tank almost every week, and I think you're pretty much aware of what's going on there. As I said, some of the more volatile commodities, food and energy costs, gasoline stuff is, that's what jumped up the index a couple of years ago, and that's what's been coming down. But I think we're seeing that it's starting to bounce around a little bit and probably going to continue to bounce around in coming months.
Yeah, I noticed food was no increase in April, which is good. But let's move over to where you get your income, the Architectural Billing Index. It's actually been negative now for, I think, 12 months in a row. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing there.
Our Architecture Billings Index, Kemp, and just to remind our listeners, that's a monthly survey we do of architecture firms, asking them about their revenue for the prior month compared to the month before that. So it's kind of a month-over-month change. As you suggest, it's been down for a little over a year now. It's basically been flat to down for over a year and a half now. It really started in the fourth quarter of 2022 that it began to soft. Really hasn't moved that much out of that trajectory. Every so often, like this past February, we got what looked to be an encouraging number. Thought we may have kind of reached a turning point and might start heading up again. And then we saw a real soft number in March. Our April number came out a couple weeks ago, and that was modestly negative. So no signs yet that design activity has really started to reverse. So I think we're in this sort of prolonged slump that architecture firms have been in for, over six quarters now. And I think that doesn't bode well for any upturn in construction activity, commercial construction anytime soon.
So we're seeing activity, obviously, with data centers. What are the other shining stars when you look at the vertical sectors?
Data centers is certainly an outlier there, and that's been extremely strong. Until recently, we were seeing pretty strong numbers coming out of a distribution, warehouses and things like that, sort of e-commerce related activity, as well as manufacturing. Manufacturing was very strong for an extended period of time. It was part of that was the CHIPS and Science Act funding for high tech. But I think just in general, one of the lessons from the pandemic was U.S. manufacturers need to keep a little more of their activity closer to home to avoid those supply chain snarls. But, the numbers are looking a bit more positive across the board on the institutional side, Kemp. Healthcare, education, government, sports and recreation. All of those are looking good, not great. Expect to see some modest increases pretty much across the board on the institutional side moving forward, kind of low, mid-single digit increases. But it's the commercial side, I think, that's really causing concern in terms of the outlook for the industry.
And that's the office side primarily.
Office is really in tough shape. Unfortunately, I don't think we've hit the bottom yet. I saw some statistics recently, Kemp, that almost half of U.S. businesses haven't assigned or re-signed office lease since the pandemic hit. So, as more and more of those leases come up for renewal, there's a lot of companies that are going to say, hey, I just don't need this much space anymore because we have so many of our staff working remotely. So I think we're going to see continued softness on the office side for years to come. Retail, a bit soft, kind of a mixed bag. You know, part of it is, you know, just the shifting of sort of population across the country and fewer, you know, kind of weakness on the retail side in urban areas and a bit more strength in suburban and exurban areas where people are kind of, you know, shopping closer to home because they're not going into work as much anymore.
Let's shift over to the residential side and the flooring business. That's over 60% of the business. There's obviously new construction and then remodel. What's your read on that?
Well, on the new construction side, we have a pretty significant housing shortage, Kim. You know, I've seen numbers anywhere from a 2 million unit shortfall up to 7 million, depending on how you look at it. So that's obviously very, very positive news for the outlook for single family construction. The problem is high interest rates and high house prices. Both of those seem to be with us for a while. This, you know, we talked a little bit about inflation, and I think as long as inflation continues to be a concern for the Fed, they're going to hold interest rates stable. What they do with short-term rates influences the market for long-term rates. And so it doesn't look like we're going to get an awful lot of relief on the mortgage side. It looks like they're going to stay 30-year fixed-rate mortgages stay above 7% for a while. So we've got those sort of, you know, two competing forces there. We need more homes being built, but it's just if affordability is a huge problem. Cost of construction is a huge problem. And so I'm guessing we're going to see the numbers stay in the range they've been, which is kind of a 1.4 million starts on an annualized basis for the coming months. Might see a bit of a pickup on the single family side just because demand is so strong and the shortage is so significant. The multifamily side has been a bit weaker. It looks like we overbuilt that market during the surge of construction we've seen in recent years. And so going to take a little bit of time for that to recover, but I think when it does recover, we're going to see some pretty strong numbers out of the multi side, in part because there's just a lot of households that are kind of frozen out of home ownership given the affordability issues, and they're going to resort to renting, not because they particularly want to, but just because that's really the only option we have. I think the outlook for the new construction side is waiting for a reduction in rates, and once we see that, we're going to start to see those numbers pick up at a reasonably healthy pace. Remodeling, also some weakness recently, Kemp. Contrary to conventional wisdom, a lot of remodeling is generated when households move. You know, you trade up to a nicer home, it may be an older home, and before we moved in, maybe we want to do some renovation on the home. And, you know, without that mobility, existing home sales are weak because of the high mortgage rates. And so we're not seeing as much related to mobility remodeling. Obviously, households that are kind of stuck in place are doing some work, but those are generally smaller projects, just sort of maintaining the status quo rather than major additions, kitchen and bath remodels or things like that.
You may find it interesting. We just released our May issue, which is our annual report issue. And, you know, we track the value of all flooring sales in the United States. And at wholesale value last year, or in 2022, it was $28 billion. And it fell in 2023 about 10.5% to $25 billion. You know, the industry has seen a negative year last year. We're certainly hoping for a little bit of a pickup. Tell us about an election year. What's in the future for the next 6 months?
A lot written, Kemp, about what impact the election is going to have on construction activity. I'm not sure we're going to see a lot of impact, quite frankly. There was a study done fairly recently by the commercial bank Wells Fargo. They looked at sort of how fast does the economy grow during election years compared to other years. And they looked back about last 15, 20 presidential elections. And their conclusion was the economy doesn't look an awful lot different during an election year than it does during a non-election year. And I think that's probably a safe bet for construction this year. I think there are just other forces at play that are going to do it. The next question is, well, depending on who is elected, is that going to change policy moving forward? And we'll see. I don't think construction or housing has been a top of the list for either candidate in terms of focus on it. A bit on the sort of affordability, and I think both candidates are looking at that. How can we make homes more affordable? How can we get more construction activity out there? But the problem is that the federal government just doesn't have much say in that. This is really driven largely by state and even more commonly local building code, zoning code, permitting codes, all that stuff. And so it's very difficult, I think, for the federal government to influence that activity very much. I think they're going to try, because housing is top of mind for a lot of households in terms of their concerns.
All right, last question, Kermit. Do you think GDP is going to be positive through the rest of this year?
I think the consensus is we're going to see about 2% growth in GDP this year. That's a good but not great number, given that the jobs number continues to be healthy. You know, we saw a slowdown in growth in April. There are 175,000 for the month, but that still translates to 2 million jobs a year, and that's considered to be a pretty good year. That's certainly consistent with, you know, 2.5% GDP growth. I think it's going to be positive. A few wild cards there, obviously international issues could crop into the situation. If inflation were to begin to accelerate, I think all bets are off. But I think the sense now is that we're going to see modest growth in GDP and less talk every month about the possibility of recession in 2024, Kermit.
All right, Kermit. Well, I appreciate you spending time with our listeners and telling us what things are looking like in the economy. Again, been talking to Kermit Baker, a chief economist, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.